Would you guys please stand for the reading of God's word? This is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we think about prayer in the Spirit, I want us to recognize there are a couple thoughts surrounding prayer. One is, why pray? If God already knows what's on our heart, which the scripture tells us, God knows what is on our heart before we even recognize it's on our heart. I want to give us a couple thoughts about why we pray. First of all, we pray because it expresses our trust to God. It expresses your trust when you pray to the Lord. When we stop and recognize, based on everything that's going on around us, that we truly have a God that we cannot see, but we trust. He's our hope. We put our confidence in him. Another reason we pray is because it represents our dependence. We recognize that we're truly dependent on the Lord, that we have this sense that apart from his sustaining, his sustenance, we couldn't go on. We couldn't take another step. We couldn't take another breath. We would not be able to process another thought without the Lord's faithfulness to us. I wanted to do a couple basic things for us surrounding the topic of prayer. First of all, I wanted to give us a clear definition of prayer before we begin to unpack a little bit of what it means to pray in the Spirit. Prayer is, first of all, in the most simple sense, it's our communication with God. It's when we talk to God. You've heard us say before that God's word is God speaking to us, and our prayer is God's, is when we speak to God. There's a sense of communication, there's a sense of community, a sense of bearing our heart to the Lord. And I want us to recognize that another thought about prayer is we are making the desires of our heart known to God. And sometimes we don't want God to know the desires of our heart. I have good news and bad news for you. He already knows the desires of our heart. I can't imagine the number of years I spent kind of keeping some of my thoughts and desires kind of locked up in a closet in my heart, thinking, I'm certainly not going to talk to God about that. It was almost like I was a child. Remember when you were a little kid and you used to play that game where you would cover the child's eyes and they would think that you disappeared? There's this sense that if I can't see it, then they don't exist. And as adults, many of us carry that way of thinking into our relationship with the Lord. We think, well, I'll just keep that locked up. He'll never know about it. He'll never find out unless I reveal it to him. I want you to know that prayer is expressing the desires of our heart to the Lord, expressing small desires, big desires, things we're worried about, things we hope for, things that might seem very insignificant to other people. But they're significant to us, and they're significant to the Lord because he cares about us. He has a deep longing for an intimate relationship with us. The scriptures say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's a verse that is very encouraging because it calls us to delight in the Lord. And then the second half of that verse says, he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. What happens is as we delight in the Lord, he actually morphs the desires of our heart. As we find him as the greatest delight of our lives, he changes the desires of our heart from desires that are simply selfish to desires that have him at the center of our heart. And as he morphs the desires of our heart, you know what happens? Our prayers morph. Because the delight and that which delights our heart morphs, it changes. We were in Colorado even just a couple hours ago. We just got back. We were sitting out having dinner, and there next to us was a huge family, basically a bunch of brats. But as we were trying to enjoy our dinner, what we found was that the children discovered a little wishing well. And so the children would take coins from their parents and run over to the little fountain, and they would throw a penny in, and then they would ask, they would wish. And it was interesting to hear the things that the kids desired. You know, one little girl threw in and wanted a pet, wanted another dog. Another girl threw a penny in, and all their desires were basically selfish desires, very childish, very me-centered. And I want us to recognize something, that when we do offer God the desires of our heart, it reveals not to God what we desire. It reveals to us what we desire. And so before I move into prayer in the Spirit, I just want you to think, and I'm going to circle back to this later, but I want you to think, what are the desires of your prayers? When you pray, what do you desire? What are you really looking for? Are you looking for this magnificent, powerful movement of the Spirit of God for the purpose of his kingdom? Or are you looking for personal comfort? One of the reasons some of the popular preachers of America, even in our own state of Texas, we have kind of a happiness movement, this sense of be happy and God just wants to bless you, this sense of health and wealth, the name it, claim it, heretical thinking. You can't take that teaching outside of a culture like the United States. You take that teaching to India, where we're going in a week. We're going to be in India for almost 2 weeks training pastors. It would be an insult to the gospel and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to take that drivel and talk to people who are dying of hunger with some kind of little, thin, weak, humanistic thinking of happiness based on circumstances. Could you imagine trying to take that show on the road? Secondly, I'd like to think about the opposite of prayer in the Spirit is prayer in the flesh. This sense that we are looking to God to supply this sense of comfort and relief and deliverance from the place he's placed us. He's moved heaven and earth to put you, to put me right where we are right now. Does he have your undivided attention? If not yet, he will. He will. Because we exist for his glory. And we manifest his glory As we behold him, does he have your undivided attention? I want to call you to recognize that when Paul speaks of this prayer in the Spirit, the context of this prayer is against the flesh. It's against the temporal. Remember what he says earlier in verse 12 when he says, remember our battles, not with rulers. We battle against authorities, against spiritual powers of evil in heavenly places. You see, a prayer in the Spirit, and I'm transitioning this way by contrasting it with the prayer in the flesh, this sense that we don't just see things as they are for this moment in time. We see them with an eternal perspective. And God transitions us in the power of the Holy Spirit as he begins to reframe the way we sift our life through his word and through our eternal existence. You know, we did just arrive home a couple hours ago, and it was amazing to me that we had hired out a couple projects that were to be done while we were gone to save us some of the inconvenience of having the projects going on while we were home. You know that when we got home this afternoon, the projects were somewhere in midstream. And I was so tempted to take all of my emotional energy and focus on, okay, I've got to get in here and quarterback this deal. I've got to figure it out. I need to call so-and-so. We need lumber. We need blah, 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 blah. And there was a sense that the Holy Spirit is trying hard to teach me that the physical is real, but that's not all there is. It's not that we can avoid and ignore the physical circumstances of our life. If you have rent that's due, you need to write the check, right? If you want the lawn to be cut, you can't just sit there and watch SportsCenter a fourth time and pray, oh Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. If you would send a couple to cut my grass. Right? There's this sense of irrationality sometimes for Christians. There's not that the physical is bad. It's just that there's more to life than what we see. And so as we transition to this sense of prayer in the Spirit, I want to give you some examples of prayer from the Bible. Paul was carried up into the third heaven and given a revelation as he was in communion with the Lord. Peter, when he went to pray before the Lord, he received a vision in the middle of the day. Now, I'm not speaking of prayer in the Spirit as receiving a revelation, because prayer is our speaking to God. Revelation originates from the Lord. I'm just using those as examples to help you to recognize that people of God are people of prayer. Prayer is a mark of the believers in the early church. I want to walk you through just a few thoughts about Jesus. Jesus says this in Luke 19, "My house is to be a house of prayer for all the nations, and you have made it a house of thieves. You make your long prayers while stealing from widows." Do you remember in Luke chapter 22 when Jesus said to Peter, "Satan demanded to sift you, Peter, but I prayed for you that you would return." Jesus prayed for Peter to carry him through. When they gathered together in Acts chapter 1, they gathered together and Jesus' mother was there, which kind of blows the whole Roman Catholic thought of praying to Mary, because Mary was with the other disciples praying to Jesus. Why didn't they just pray to Mary to pray to Jesus? They all prayed to Jesus. They also had this sense of when they were on the way to the temple to pray in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 4, they had this prayer of praise when they were released. They were out preaching and they were persecuted. And when they were released, they had this prayer of praise in chapter 4. I want you to know later in chapter 4, they didn't pray for God to remove the persecution. They prayed for boldness. I want you to begin to feel the transition to prayer in the Spirit. Prayer in the Spirit is praying, recognizing that you're in the presence and power of God, and that He is going to work in you and through you in the lives of others through your prayers. Remember the words of James, who says, "You have not because you ask not." Well, let me ask us a question. If God answered all your prayers in the past year, how different would the world be? Would there still be little boys and girls who are sex slaves over in Asia? Tens of thousands of children who are sexual slaves, largely to Americans and Europeans who travel over, to pay $30 to have a 10-year-old little boy or little girl for the night. Would that be abolished if God answered your prayer? Could I call you to pray? I'm about to say a sentence that is right on the edge of blasphemy, but I want you to wrestle with it, if you will. I want you to pretend that the Bible's true. I want you to pretend that God hears our prayers, and we have not because we ask not. Have not because we ask not. There is the power of praying in the Spirit that actually reframes the understanding of our mind in such a way that we don't just pray for the simple physical comforts of this life. Somehow, through the means of grace, the Spirit of God lifts our eyes above what we see and above the simple physical desires of those around us, and we begin to see with spiritual eyes. If God did answer all the prayers that you've prayed in the last year, how much would the kingdom of God be extended? What would be the difference in God's kingdom? Would all the orphans of the world be adopted? Would all the starving children of the world be fed? Would there be more Christian conversions among the Muslims? Would Al-Qaeda be destroyed? Will single mothers of the world be cared for? Would the homeless be fed? Would the abused be free? Would terrorism be defeated? Would our president and his family have the wisdom and peace of God? Would every elder and deacon of our church be covered in spiritual protection? Would every pastor be seeking to serve God with his whole heart? Would your neighbors come to faith in Christ? Would our heart be closer to the Lord? In the words of Jesus' brother, James, you don't have because you don't ask. I would call us to recognize something about this text. This text is filled with commandments. This text is not filled with suggestions. This text very clearly says, put on the whole armor of God. Take up the whole armor of God. Stand therefore. If you have your Bibles open, I want to take you back to verse 16. In all circumstances. Did you hear that word, all? You're going to hear it a lot in the next few sentences. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying when? At all times, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Just imagine if you committed to pray for all the saints. You know, one of the ways you could do that is simply by praying for each country of the world. Maybe you figured out how many countries there were in the world and you committed that in the next year you were going to pray for the saints in every country in the world. Do you see what Paul is calling us to? He's calling us to an intimate walk with Jesus, so intimate that when we pray in the Spirit, in this sense, we share the love of God for the peoples of the world. I want to encourage you. I've been tested in this. I only made the commitment this morning to pray for people as I see them. The moment I encountered them, to pray for them. A number of you have been prayed for tonight because when I encountered you with a hug or a handshake or a hello, the Lord's Spirit working in me has called me to pray for you. I want to call you to pray for every person you meet for the rest of your life. If God's word is food for our soul, prayer in the Spirit is water. Prayer in the Spirit is water for your soul. We were in Colorado, and one of the things that I struggle with in Colorado is the altitude. In fact, I start drinking mass quantities of water a day or two before we get to Colorado because I found that I do much better at high altitudes. When I don't drink enough water at high altitude, I get very lethargic. I don't do anything, and I don't want to do anything. I don't feel good. For some of you, I've just described your prayer life. You're maturing as a believer, but it's there's this sense that when you look at a mountain, you just take it for granted. Hike the mountain. Hike the mountain. And it takes your breath away. God's word is truly food for our soul. And prayer in the Spirit is the water. The higher the altitude, the more water you need. Some of us are very content to live in the lowlands of spiritual life. But the mark of a mature believer is a mark of prayer. Prayer in all circumstances and all times for all people. He uses this word, and the word really means to be alert, to watch. To watch in prayer is the call of prayer in the Spirit. Because you see, the Spirit always shines the spotlight on Jesus Christ. Our prayers should be Christ-centered prayers, manifest and express for the people of the world. I want to call you to prayer. I want to call you to drink more water. Slow down. Slow down. The mark of a mature believer is a sense of peace and a sense of steady plodding. The higher you go, the slower you walk. As we got up around 12,000 feet, I kind of lost that little joyful, youthful, let's go, and began to take little bitty baby steps, about 10 or 12 at a time, and then stopping for water or gasping for breath. Prayer to the mature believer who sees the world as it really is a gasping for spiritual breath. It's a gasping for the work of the Holy Spirit in a broken world who has no hope in anything apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see it, don't you? I mean, come on, you see it, don't you? If you're too blind to see it in your own life, don't you see it in the lives of others? Don't you know the people at work, the people in the condo next to you? I mean, can't you see it in their faces? They've got their ladder leaned against the wrong wall. They can't be still. The iPod has to be in. The television has to be on. The computer has to be going. Oh, I think somebody just texted me or emailed me. There's no rest. There's no peace. Slow down. Prayer in the Spirit is water for the desperate, gasping soul. May God in his kindness have mercy on us, his people, and deliver us. Deliver us from the idols of this age and from the prince of the air who so longs to hold us captive. Let's pray together. The mind set on the flesh is death, and the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you. And this little primer on prayer so grips our soul if the Holy Spirit is helping us. Lord, there are millions of Muslims who outpray us, but they are cheering for the wrong God. We bow humbly before you, and we ask, O Lord, as we gasp for spiritual breath, as we seek to walk on the high places, that you would meet us in the stillness and in the quiet of our souls. Not only when we're alone, but Lord, in the hustle of tomorrow morning, when we see our office workers, may we in the Spirit pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be revealed to them, that they would be delivered from being captives to the prince of the air, the spirit of this present darkness, and be delivered from worshiping themselves in this world to worshiping you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one true God who one day will come and before whom each of us will stand and make an account of our lives. Oh God, may you be true. May you be real. May you reach into our hearts this week, even this very moment, and grow us. Grow us with spiritual eyes that we may see through the temporal to the eternal. For your glory, Lord, and for our good, we make our prayers. And all God's people said, amen.